You for joining in this evening for episode 2 of P1 Talks. This is your host, Swiss Trades. With me this evening, I have my good friend, Ray. What's up, Ray? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing great. How are you? Can you hear me?
I'm great, man. And with us this evening, our special guest. I don't even think I need to introduce this guy right here. But OTC Baller, what's going on, man?
Yo, 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 guys. Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Yes, thanks for being here. Pleasure having you on this evening, man.
Oh, it's good to be here. I'm fired up.
Yeah, we're fired up, man. Today was absolutely insane on the OTC market, and I know that you smashed it along with everybody else. But before we get started, I just want to thank all of our listeners and everybody that is tuning in right now. That tuned into our first live stream that we had with Lizard King as a special guest. And, you know, it's really, for us, it's important to see that you guys are tuning in, and we just absolutely want to say from phase one to you guys, thank you so much. And if you want, you can subscribe, hit that bell to our YouTube channel, and you can find us at Phase One Trading on Twitter, and also our website, www.phaseonetrading.com. So let's go ahead and get started. Ray.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, look, so today was absolutely nutty, man.
Today was insane in the OTC. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. You know, every ticker I looked at was running hard, had huge volume on it. And it was a great day. And I want to say congratulations to Baller. Had his first six-figure day. That's huge.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, man. It's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot to talk about what happened today.
So. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I would say that, you know, I did six today, but I'm sure a lot of guys out there did seven. I don't really see how it's possible they wouldn't have, you know, especially the guys have been doing this for a long time with a lot of money, you know, but,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, shit, man, when everything's going up, you know, it's hard not to make money, and it's a lot easier to ride your winners, you know? And I think that was a big part of it today for me is, you know, I had some size on some of these things that ran, and, I held on to them a little longer than I usually do. And, you know, but who wouldn't in this market? So just blessings, man. That's if I had to describe it in a word, you know, I don't think it's, you can't pat yourself on the back too much when this kind of stuff happens, you know, because it's just a blessing. And I got to imagine this is how I was thinking today. Like, I got to imagine this is how the crypto guys were feeling back in, you know, 2017, 2018. Guys who had no clue what they're doing were running up seven-figure accounts, you know, but.
Or they've had how they fell lately.
Yeah, too, probably.
So, I mean, no one what makes that move.
So how did you get across to even finding the right setups today?
Yeah, so you know, for me, I've been pretty upfront about this with people. Like, I'm big on scanners. That's how I started doing this. That's how I've been doing it. First of all, let me just apologize for my brain, because when I start talking, I go from one thing to another, and now you got me wanting to say like 3-4 different things about this. But first things first, I think with at least with triple zeros, one of the crazy things that's going on right now is that they when E-Trade pulled the scanners, did you guys notice this when they pulled the strategy scanners?
I use Thinkorswim, so I don't
okay, yeah. So E-Trade has like volume scanners. I'm big on, like, when I scan, it's not really for chart setups, it's more for like volume. You know, so right. I have a block scanner. When I was on E-Trade, I'd have a block scanner for like over 5 million, and then I'd have a volume scanner. It was like instantaneous volume for a factor of one. And blocks for like a million. And that would be like something like filtered in triple zeros, something like that. So so it's sort of like drinking from a fire hose, you know, like I get a lot of information. It's always spitting out information all day. And I don't know, maybe that's why I trade the way I trade, but you know, I'm getting a lot of outputs, and then it sort of gives me tickers to put on the watch list. You know, it's not like something that's going to spit out winners automatically, but it's just like, now, you know, knowledge is power. You're aware of what's going on. And so anyway,
so,
when they
so
got,
you're
when
seeing
they got really good scanners, what's up?
You're seeing the accumulation. So for example,
right.
you might see that last week, you start seeing these big blocks getting hit.
Yeah, you know, and you see the thing trade, and then you know to pull up the L2, and then that's where, you know, you can really get down to business. But yeah, you know, and I think it's sort of a weird phenomenon. I mean, I'm sure it's not just this, but it's odd that those scanners, you know, I was talking to you guys earlier about how I like to put my tinfoil hat on, and I'm just going to say it's odd that those scanners conked out like 2 days before all this shit started happening, you know, in these runs. And to me, what it is people aren't noticing the runs. Like, you have all these flippers who would usually hold shit back, and they're not noticing the run until three ticks up, and then they still want in, you know? So, I mean, that's part of what's going on. So anyway, the whole way I got started on this is those scanners on E-Trade, I used to teach people, like, they have noises, which sounds stupid, but it's real useful when you're sitting here 8 hours a day, you know? So, so anyway, I lost my noises. Long story short, I lost my noises. So I've just been basically, I have my my scanner running, which has a lot of the same features like blocks and volume and stuff like that. I just had that thing running, but I you know, there was so much opportunity in triple zeros, and I didn't have the noises. So I had to pretty much sit here and be glued to the, I just said, all right, where's the most opportunity in my mind? And I think most of these runners have started in triple zeros. So that's where your upside is, you know? And so I've just been sitting here glued to the triple zero scanners all day, you know, and that's where I'm seeing all this stuff. And it's, you know, it's funny. A lot of people like to talk shit and, you know, oh, well, you buy a bunch and then you tweet it, which is true. You know, I mean, I do that, but anybody can do the same thing, and they can, you know, they can run the scanners the same way. I just explained my settings here, you know, on a live show. Right. So, you know, I think that's right now it's all about just following the volume, you know, and in this market, what's great is the volume precedes price. So it's really not that hard. You know, there's not a lot of fake outs. Nobody's really got any incentive to do what I like to call a bag swap, you know, where they might try to drum up some volume just so they can get out of their position, you know, and I don't think there's a lot of that going on. So it's great for newer traders because they can sort of just follow volume. And, you know, in the coming days, the thing will probably be higher for them. So.
Yeah, 100%. 100%, man. Volume precedes price for sure. At least for me too. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, we're looking at first thing in the morning is volume and pre-market. And we're already basing, you know, 2-3 plays off of that to get a couple scalps in. And, you know, that we start our day with that every morning. We start our day with that. Where's the volume leaders and why?
Let me ask you volume. So you're talking about NASDAQ, right?
Yeah, big boards and stuff too, but you know,
here's my question for you guys, because I know you guys are a little more experienced with this stuff than I am. In those markets, when they're super bullish, like when everything's running, do you notice that there's like, I mean, I guess this would make sense because more shit runs in general, but what I notice in OTC and in most markets that I have dabbled in is that when the market's real good, there's way less volume fakeouts, you know, where you'll see a lot of volume early in the day or a lot of volume, you know, in whatever case, and then you don't see price appreciation after, you know, whereas when the market's really forgiving and really bullish, it's sort of just like see volume, slap volume, make money, you know? So I don't know if you guys have noticed that in other markets, but I'd be curious.
Yeah, I think it's kind of sector related on the big boards, you know. It's kind of dependent on, you know, which sectors are hot and why, but I like to think of it kind of like the seesaw effect, you know, like if one thing is going to go down, another sector is going to move up. You just have to kind of stay ahead of the curve and be able to, you know, figure out by, you know, checking the charts, like what are you most comfortable with as far as the setup's concerned? But, you know, like with OTC, I mean, I know that's your A game, you know, I mean, which you made apparently very clear today with your winnings. I mean, big congrats to you on that for sure. And Ray is like, you know, he's our own little OTC beast for us. You know, I mean, the dude's clacking it all the time. I mean, what'd you play today, Ray? right? Uh-oh.
Are we losing?
Yeah, I think we might have lost him.
I'm sorry. You hear me?
Yeah, you there?
Yep.
Yeah, no, I was just asking, what did you play today?
You didn't hear any of that? So like I was saying, I had to trade early today. I couldn't trade all day. I trade part-time as of right now. And so I had to basically get some quick scalps right at the beginning of the day, and that was it, which is unfortunate because today was a hell of a day and it was a killer. So I hit Seggy and TSNP like right out of the gates and scalped those, and obviously I hit Sundial pre-market and with you, Swiss, we rode that out, but I had to scalp that too, so I couldn't even take, you know, a big part of that move. Just took like a good 10% on that, and that was it.
Yeah, that was a fun one for me. That Sundial, I was riding that all day, just about.
But it's unfortunate because this is one of the best days in a while.
Yeah. Well,
hey Ray. You didn't know. Nobody gave you the memo. You're not allowed to sell in the OTC, bro. That's blasphemy.
I know. Yeah, I know. You gotta become part of the cult, man.
All right. Well, yeah. I hope not too many people are listening to this then.
I try and tell people
all the time to like take your profits, and we'll get into that too. I mean,
yeah. Nah, man. You're crazy. Nobody ever made money taking a profit.
Taking profits. What's the longest you've ever held an OTC ticker for, baller?
Oh man, probably not by choice. But years, you know, I still have some 0001 bags from when I started doing this.
Yeah.
But so that's another story I can tell actually is, last year I was way more into investing, and I think the OTC was a little different too, but, so I used to like invest in shells basically. Just based on share structure. So I'd buy a real nice share structure at the 52-week low. And then I just wait for them. Like they'd either usually do, this was back in the like fake news days. So they'd either usually do like some fake news or they'd do like a real merger, but either way, like shit bags and people that are trying to build a company are attracted to the shell for the same reason, because it's got good share structure, you know, and not much debt. So I did that. And then like that whole, you know, I used to trade a lot differently. So back in the day, I used to have probably like 80% of my net worth in penny stocks. And I would pull out like, I don't know, a few thousand a month to pay my bills. And I was making pretty good money too. I mean, last year I did 650. So like, it was a pretty good year, you know, but I just didn't really need that much money for my day-to-day life. But anyway, then all that SEC shit happened where they said they might suspend dark tickers, which by the way, still hasn't happened. But it didn't really matter back then, you know, because everything sort of tanked on the rumor. And that cost me like 150 grand. So like I was, I sort of learned my lesson in terms of staying liquid. And I don't want to put my fate in the hands of anything this unpredictable, you know. So, I mean, I'll hold something, like I'll invest in something if I find it real compelling. But I usually only do it from like the extreme lows, you know.
I mean, unfortunately, especially if you're a new trader, that's part of the learning lesson, right? You're like essentially paying for an education, which is unfortunate because you end up getting bagged, and we've all been there.
Yep.
And, you know, you end up tying up your money for years, whatever it is. You end up taking a loss, huge loss.
Yeah, you know, I took a nice loss on RB&W. I think I actually saw you mention that today, baller.
Yeah, I took a nice loss on that.
I don't know why. I just feel like it'll, you know, I think any, like, it's not really rocket right now, you know, it's just sort of like any trip that's got like a decent story, maybe some good shit going on with the company, or like, you know, if it's an existing company, something like that, or, you know, maybe it's a shell with some type of merger going on, but it's really all it takes, you know, and I'll have, you know, so I feel like RB&W can go big. we'll see. You know, I don't know. Maybe it won't.
The thing about that, they diluted the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, yeah, terrible stock. I mean, most of the ones I trade are, you know.
Yeah.
The dilution's great because the note holders come out to play when they want to run it. I mean, at some point, they got to sell that freaking note. It's just a matter of where, you know, because if people think these guys get their note off at the bid, they're out of their minds. You know, I mean, like, you got to just do the math on someone. Say some guy has a 100K note on a trip stock. Like, dude, he's not whacking your bid and getting out of his note. He's got to run that thing at some point or put together some type of promo or something like that, you know? So, you know, I don't mind.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You got to just be on the right end of it, you know? And if it goes against you, then, you know, I don't know. Usually you can, like right now it's sort of tough to lose, but, you know, I mean, if it starts going the wrong way, I noticed most of my trades go well pretty quickly, you know, so my good ones, you know, so there's not really any reason to fight these guys if they're not ready yet, you know, but if they're ready, man, there's not many pumps that are better, you know?
So when you're trading the OTC markets, are you like the majority of your OTC trades, are they the pink sheets or are you doing any like OTC QX, OTC QB trades?
Yeah, well, I mean, I got this one company right now. I mean, I've been pretty vocal about it. POWW is like, you know, that's a little different animal. I mean, I'll dabble, you know, if something really speaks to me, but, you know, and that's, it's nice to be able to buy something and not have to worry too much about it, you know, and I'll even do some NASDAQs too. If I like the look and maybe, you know, some people I trust are big fans too, you know, it sets me off in the right direction and, you know, so, but yeah, for the most part, shit, man, some of my biggest gainers, like ELCR was, you know, I still have a grip of that. And, you know, I went into today with 80 million shares and like, I don't even really know if that's, I think it's like a shell. Like, I don't know a thing about that company. I just know they say electric car on the level two. And I was like, oh, that's fucking gold. You know, sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, man, that sector's hot right now.
So, you know, and yeah, that's all it really takes. Like people overthink this stuff, you know, I mean, at least when the, you know, and you don't just buy it, you buy it on volume, you know, so you put it on your watch list, you know, so it's not like I just come up with these things on my own. It's like, well, I sort of see what they might be going for. Like when I saw this thing, I mean, I mentioned this thing a while back and initially I got bagged, but I was like, yeah, this will have a run, you know, and, ended up getting a few more and, you know, went well, but it's people, you know, you don't really need, you see a lot of volume, you see it look like they're loading, and then you try to imagine why the hell they would, you know, and in this case it's pretty easy to figure out.
Yeah, so
what about like reading level two? Are you using that? I know Ray uses it.
Yeah, I love level two.
Yeah, I mean, it's, to me, you know, charting is one thing which we should talk about because I think Baller has an interesting way he charts in the OTC, but to me, like, trading in the OTC is basically all level two, momentum, volume, like we're talking about, and you know, that's what's going to cause these things to move.
Yep, and also
and like today tactics. We had, I don't know, 100% plus winners today. There was volume on everything. I mean, the most active board, I think every ticker on there, like 10, was over 1 billion shares traded today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree about Sol level two, seeing which market makers are on there.
One thing, can I say something real quick about level two?
Go ahead.
So for level two, for me, it helps. I mean, I guess a little less when the volume's this high, but even then, it helps for me to like, yeah, I'll notice patterns on the level two, and that's the easiest way to describe it to people. But I think above that is, once you understand how the game works, you literally want to be imagining what some dude is doing on the level two, because you'll see guys, like I see guys manipulate the level two,
right?
You know, and like one trick I'm seeing a lot lately is like, all right, if you see a stock that ends up being a big runner, what they're doing all the way up is these dudes will put up, you'll see one seller come in, so it'll be like retail, so it'll be like, all right, you know, level two will be pretty thin and people sort of be loading it, and then all of a sudden you'll see like Citadel show up with 50 million shares, right, and then, you know, what happens when he shows up with 50 million shares? Obviously, like, a few people are like, well, that's not good. I mean, I'd be one of them in most cases, you know, unless I like had a real strong feeling on what they're doing, you know.
Right. They
so you'll see this guy show up on one market maker with one order. And it's like, first off, nobody would sell that way unless they were like, had no clue what they're doing, you know, but then you'll see basically big block, you know, big hit will take his own block out. And then also any of the little like small, cause you'll see like, all right, 50 mil on Citadel. And then maybe like 3 mil on Knight, you know, 2.5 on ETRF. All the little guys like us are like, whoa, well, I want out now, you know? And then all of a sudden you see a huge buyer take out not only that wall, but everybody else. And guess what happened? That dude is just wash trading with his boy, you know? And he's taking all the shares, he's shaking all the branches, and that he didn't even sell that 50 million. That's still within the group that's gonna run the stock. Right. So like I'm seeing that tactic all the time. So, you know, you could say, all right, I see a pattern of, you know, big block show up and then they steal the whole thing. And yeah, that's helpful, but it's even more helpful to understand, yo, I think I can picture what this guy's doing and why he would be doing it, you know? And I think OTC, like in so many ways, not just the level two, that's so key. You know, it's just understanding what people do. Like, all right, if I was a piece of shit and I was sitting out there trying to manipulate a stock, what would I do? You know? And it makes it a lot easier to think that way, you know, and you start seeing, and these dudes don't lose. So if you figure out what they're doing, shit, you're set. You know?
Yeah, and that's a great, great point. I see that all the time as well. I mean, I do see inexperienced traders locking walling level two out, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah, it happens. It happens for sure. You know, and liquidation, you know, people get liquidated. You never know, you know?
Yeah,
you know. But I'm just saying, if you see it all day long, all the way up from like 0001 to 002, like, you know what they're doing, you know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love it when I see CDL hop on level two.
Is there?
Yeah. So
what about like your risk management? How are you managing your risk and deciding, like, you know, when are you going to cut your loss and scaling out of your position to get that maximum gain?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think liquidity definitely will play into that in both cases. So like, you know, if I have enough size to where like I wouldn't be able to get them back, I don't worry about, you know, a few ticks either direction, you know, and that's cutting losses or taking profit, you know, but I would say like, you know, I know it's harder for guys with smaller accounts, but, you know, it's sort of tough shit. You got to deal with it. You know, we all did. But once you have the day trade account, I mean, the way you want to look at it is, all right, is it going lower? Fine, then I'll sell it. Like you don't lose till you sell people. Oh my God, they drive me crazy. You know, like obviously you can sell some shit and get back in, you know, which I do all the time. So, and I mean, for me, it's funny, like you know, say I have big size and something, even if I'm a little less sure, like I'll just sell a few shares, you know, and it's so good psychologically for you to do that. You can always grab them back, you know, and it's almost like as your conviction level develops to the, you know, upside or the downside, you sort of are scaling in and out of size it, and maybe at different prices even. I mean, in this market, shit, I'll average up like on a 2 to 3 tick range in the triple zeros if I really am feeling it, you know, so, but yeah, you know, it's a tough question to answer. I guess it's sort of case by case. And in terms of like scaling, it's, if I, you know, a lot of it's personal. If I have a lot of size, I maybe will start selling a little quicker, you know, but I still want to be holding as much as the next guy by the time it runs, you know, that's my philosophy on it, you know? So, and you know, I mean, I do dumb shit every day. Like I sell shit early, sell shit late. You know, it's funny. Like if half these dudes were out there like nailing the top and nailing the bottom, like they said they did, like I know, like I make a ton of money in this market and I trade like an idiot all day long, you know? So, so if you're really Mr. Nail the bottom and nail the top, like you gotta be doing probably 8 figures, you know, would be my guess, which I'm sure there are people, but hey, you know, just saying. So, anyway, yeah, I don't know if Ray, you got anything to say about risk management or?
Well, I mean, first off, like anytime I go into a trade, it sounds like you swing trade a little more than I do. like you'll hold on to a stock for a week or so. Pretty much I'm like, for the most part, day trading at this point, just based on momentum and volume. So I will look for a ticker. We could pick one of 12 today. And when I see the momentum there, you know, I'm going in with a plan. I'm not trying to catch the whole move. I don't really care about the whole move. I know exactly when I go into a trade, like where my loss is going to be, where I'm going to cut it if I don't think it's going to happen, and where I'm going to take profits. And it, when whatever it does after I trade it, it does. Like, I don't look back. You know, I just take.
I love that. I love what you just said.
I just try and get part of the move. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
I want to get in and get out, especially on these momentum trades. I mean, honestly, 95% of these tickers, I have no idea anything about the company. Like, yeah, I mean, I have no idea.
It's usually how it is, you know. I mean, we're not digging up information to make a trade. We see that, you know, because of the way that the chart technicals are laid out and the volume and the momentum, you know, they're on the leaderboards. They're moving. So we just take advantage of that. And nobody's going to clack 100% with every single trade. But the thing is if you can just capture some of the move, then get in, get out, and get back in cash and get yourself ready for the next move.
Yeah, and that's just – you guys just reminded me of something. In terms of, like, risk management to the upside, I've talked to a lot of people in my room about this, and I made a video about this years ago. But, like, when I'm looking at taking profit, right, I think what's really important to think about is, like, I remember when I started doing this, like, there was some, I mean, this was back on iHub, but I remember it was always like, well, sell half at double and then ride your position, you know, and when you're up 100%, sell half and then you got free shares, which, by the way, is the dumbest shit I ever heard, free shares, but and you still paid for them. But anyway, so when I think about scaling, like, say I buy into something, you know, especially in this market, right? A lot of times, like, smart traders are buying something at the high of day, you know, which you almost would never do in a slow market. But so all I want to think about when I'm scaling is, all right, what if I got the bottom? What would I be doing? And I'm not saying you go and flip everything because, you know, well, they got the bottom, because, hey, maybe you're expecting 1,000% move off the bottom. But whatever move you're expecting, it shouldn't be framed in terms of your own cost basis. That doesn't make any sense. You know, the market doesn't give a shit what you paid. You know, so so that's just one thing I wanted to say is, like, I think that when people are making their price targets, they should look at the chart and see where the initial front load was, and then they can have a way better idea of, you know, where they should start selling.
Yeah,
and
makes,
I think
yeah, sense. I agree. That makes total you know. Sense. But yeah, I mean, honestly, the way the market's been, I've been trading shit at the fucking high of the day.
Yeah, me too. And a lot of stuff I don't even tweet because I'm like, yeah, they'll call me a pumper, but I bank on it. You know?
Right, so, like, exactly. But if it's moving and I see, and, like, level two looks clean and I still see the volume there, I'll jump in. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah. But I still think if you were trying to predict a top, which is a fool's errand, but let's say you were trying to, you could take, you know, one situation. You could say, all right, this stock ran to, you know, 30 on this rumor with this share structure. And now you have a similar catalyst with this one. And you look at where they lock down the bottom, you know, and, you know, and then you can sort of, at least, I don't know, it's never going to be perfect, but at least if you, like, know what the hell you're looking at, instead of sort of just this fuzzy idea of, oh, you know, well, I just want my 30% or whatever. I think it's helpful, you know, at least, you know, you can do it for years and maybe you'll get somewhere. I don't know. I'm working on the second
part, but. No, absolutely. I mean, honestly, ALPP just did a similar, just was in a similar run to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So they ran to, like, I want to say 40 cents like a year or two ago. And then it got chopped back down to four cents. And, you know, that's actually a legit company. They're coming out with solid news, but it's just been stagnant and stagnant and stagnant for years. All of a sudden, volume just started coming in, and you know, I think it was back up to like 20 cents at one point last week.
Yeah, now it's at 40, and I didn't make a dime on this move, man. I'm ashamed to admit it. I traded this year at one point, but
That thing's just been sitting and waiting. But I mean, I think that's a prime example of what you're talking about, to, like, look back at to see where.
Oh, where yeah, yeah. To look at the history. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I mean, I was just more talking about look at it as a, this is actually an example of what I just said, looking stupid, because like people should have sold this thing ages ago.
But it is stupid.
There's good to, you know, it's good to look at the history like that. That helps me a lot, especially with these trip stocks. Like people say, oh, well, how do you know which, you know, one with terrible share structure to slap? And it's like, well, look at the history, dude. I mean, if it always does a billion shares and never goes anywhere, you're probably going to get a bag out of that. You know, I mean, in this market, I think it's tough to get bagged anywhere, but yeah, you know, so, and that's, you know, completely different type of setup, but the same shit holds true. You know?
I mean, Gaxi and Bant were just two recent cases of that where like in the dubs, then ran into copper and then came back down, ran back up, back down.
Gaxi was epic. I love that trade.
I mean, that thing, it is epic, but it does need like a billion shares to move.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that note holder pump. You know, it's not our money. It's like, that's not some Twitter group, you know, exactly what I was talking about earlier.
Exactly.
So what would you guys say about like the difference in the trading psychology in today's current market versus like where do you think it might go and in comparison to like where it's been?
Oh man. I don't know. I'm the type of dude where I'm like
trick question.
I've been like, dude, this is so good, there must be something really bad coming. That's how I feel about it. The hens are gonna come to roost with this SEC stuff, and I think the market's gonna see a hole, you know. It's going to be revamped to the fullest. I mean, there'll still be money out here, but we'll be making it differently. But I mean, what else is new? You know, I never make money the same way I did, you know, yesterday. So.
Yeah. I mean, it surely is an ever changing environment. I know that wasn't the SEC going to start clamoring down on the OTC markets?
Yeah. They're looking at the dark defunct stocks. You know, and I think it's odd to see this E-Trade blocking the caveat emptors as well. You know, the whole vibe just seems like they're trying to get like more legitimate, which by the way, is like so stupid. Like it's like, you guys want to be the NASDAQ, be my guest, but you know, there's already one of those, but anyway, you know, that's enough about that. But yeah, you know, I just think, I don't really think it's going to be the way people think. Like they say like, oh, you know, oh, there's not going to be any trip stocks anymore. It's like, yes, there will be. They're just going to like be pink current, you know, and then they'll probably RS a lot more often. But, you know, I remember, especially like it was more common when I started doing this, but you had these stocks like PHIL or like, HAON, like just these pig stocks, and they would start no bid. They'd be pink current and they would run to like, you know, 001. So, you know, and that's still in keeping with everything they say they want to change. I just think that, you know, that coupled with the funding issues, because I know that guys are having trouble, you know, I think they're having trouble clearing shares the way that they used to in triple zeros. So, you know, I think that'll
can you elaborate sort of on that
for more RSs? But other than that, you know, I don't think much is going to change.
Baller, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So like,
you know, they're having more trouble.
Yeah, ever since Alpine closed down. Now, I mean, I'm just going off shit I read on the internet. You know, I just Google stuff. But ever since Alpine closed down, I know they're having problems clearing the same amount of notes. And it's funny, I actually know a guy down here who used to have a hedge fund for OTC, and now he doesn't even touch it. You know, and he said it was just hard to clear the notes, you know. But, you know, I mean, clearly they're still doing it. We see cross trades down here all the time. But I just noticed that, like, a lot more of the legit – the other thing that tells me that's true. I mean, it's sort of like the way I roll is it's always like, all right, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Cause I'll even have people tell me shit that ends up being wrong. You know? So like word of mouth for me doesn't really work, but if I Google something, I maybe hear something from somebody and it looks a certain way. Like what I notice is all the legitimate companies or like the most legitimate, like 0001s have tended to split this year, you know, like a lot more often and a lot quicker than they used to. You know, and maybe that's just in my head, but you know, to me, what that tells me is, all right, they can't get the funding they need down here anymore. So they got to get it over one to be able to like clear the amount of paper they want to clear. You know, I guess paper is the wrong word because nobody has paper anymore, but you know, so I don't know. It certainly seems that way to me, but. But, you know, it's like I told you guys earlier, I'm not an institutional guy. I'm just some guy on the internet from the school Hard Knocks. So, you know, I'm talking out of my ass for the most part, but, you know.
Hey, I hear you, man. I mean, you know, not everybody is going and getting their Series 7 and starting to trade that way, you know.
Nah, man, I couldn't pass a test like that. Come on. Can't even get a fucking job, bro.
You don't need a job, bro.
That's right. Yeah. I'm unemployed. I'm very happy with it too.
So, look, I gotta ask. I mean, you had like your best day ever today, right? And to me, that's just like I think it was really awesome. Like when I saw what you tweeted out, you know, and the figures that you made or whatever, I'm just like, man, what was going through this guy's mind when everything was just hitting, like firing off on all cylinders at the same time?
Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, I just like it's a whole like it reminded me, I was getting deja vu of like I remember like when it must have been a couple years ago. I was still in the States back then, but I remember when I first started hitting 1,000 a day. And like I've been a lifelong F up. I keep saying the F word too much, so I'm gonna edit that. But that's the only word I can really say for it. Like I've been that way my whole life. Huge.
This is the OTC dumpster. F away.
Yeah. But you know, I've been a huge disappointment to my parents and you know my family and my friends, and I've just been sort of like a vacuum and a negative person. And like you know, my whole life I've been a problem, you know, for everybody who cares about me. And then I remember when I started hitting these $1,000 days. And I'd like come off a pretty tough, you know, bottom the past few years before that. And I was like almost in tears, man. It was like really emotionally confusing and like just a crazy feeling. And that's sort of how I felt today. You know, I was just like, damn, you know. But I mean, the money is like, I'm sort of numb to it. I mean, I got my bills paid the first like month of this year. You know, I don't really spend a lot of money. I mean, we like to go out and stuff like that. But yeah, man, it's just sort of like, it's more confusing than anything. That's the one way I describe it. It's just confusing. It's like, wait, I thought I was supposed to screw up my whole life, you know? So, yeah, man, you know, it's just, and it's blessed, you know, I mean, we all go through it, and I figure it all evens out in the end. You know, if you spend your life in the market, which I want to do, you know, I'm sure that there's going to be days that are just as bad as today was good, you know? So, good day, I'm okay. Bad day, I'm okay. You know, but yeah, man.
That's cool, man. I mean, it's super humble, you know. I mean,
yeah, I was just gonna say the same exact word, man.
Super humble. Oh yeah, man. I don't know. I'm cocky as hell. Like I'm my own biggest fan, but you know, I just like I've definitely screwed up a lot. Like anybody who comes and talks to me, especially in person, like I'll tell them about my life, you know. And you know, I definitely like if you screw up as much as me, it's tough to be like, oh yeah, no, I'm real smart all the time. Like I'm an idiot most of the time, but the market's gone really well, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, man. I wasn't the best kid growing up either, you know. And hopefully I can one day hit that six figure day. We'll just keep plugging away, you know. I mean, all we do is we just keep plugging away. We just get up every morning and just keep hammering it down. Eventually, that wall is going to come down.
Yeah, that's the point. And it's progress. You know, it's just all about progress. Nothing else matters. I mean, there's always somebody out there. Like, if you want to try to big dick it with people, like, there's some dude making, $100 million today. Like, you're always going to run into the guy who's doing bigger numbers. So, if that's, like, what you hang your hat on, then, like, I feel sorry for you, you know, but if it's all about progress, like shit, nobody can really like, you know, nobody can really.
It's like what we tell our people in phase one, you know, we just say, hey, look, just keep stacking your chips. Doesn't matter if you're taking $20 off of a trade or 200 or 2000, like you just keep stacking your chips and eventually you're going to get there.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I don't know. Do traders actually have goals? A lot of them, you know, like you were saying, $1,000. $1,000 a day, right? Like that's a goal.
Yeah.
And that keeps you, it keeps you in check because if you scalp something for $200, then you scalp something else for $200 and vice, you know, so on and so forth, then, you know, it keeps you in check. So yeah. Like to reach your goal, if you don't have a goal, or a plan going into a trade, then you know what I mean? Like, you can just blow yourself up.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I know my exit before I make my entry. At least I try to, you know, I try to.
Yeah, you try to have an idea.
Where's my final exit going to be before I make my entry? And then, you know, and as far as having a goal, like my monthly goal for me is to have anywhere from 150 to 200% gains a month overall, right? And so as long as I continue to fall in that, then it's going to start stacking up. And so far I've been hitting the mark. So, but yeah, man, I mean,
right. It's, like, it's, honestly, I'm at that $1,000 a day goal. That's what I want every day.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, if it takes me 5 trades to get there, then it takes me 5 trades to get there. If I have to take a loss in something and, you know, I make out on 2, but to me, I've started to look at more of a percentage basis return on my money.
Right.
And everybody's out here.
That's what I was saying before. Like, I look for 150 to 200% a month.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, people are looking for 100 to 200 a day, which in this market, it's not unheard of, but in a normal market, like, you know, you could scalp something for 10%. I mean, the OTC is a little different, obviously, because of just the you know, where the pricing is. So your goals can be a little higher there, but like if you're trading on the big boards, like, you know, to get a 10% rip in a normal market is not bad. I mean, that's what a lot of traders are looking for.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you got to pay attention to like who is going to be playing your. I always talk about liquidity players a lot on my feed. And like, you know, I know there's exceptions to every rule, but I think it helps to think like, all right, who am I playing against? Like, are these dudes who can take a 6-figure bet like nothing? And then like, guess where they're going to start selling? 10%. Exactly. You know, they're up 5 figures on it. So like, you know, if you're a guy trying to flip 50 bucks and like, you know, you're up against dudes putting 50K in it, like you're going to have a tough time beating those guys to the sell order, you know, because they're going to be happy with the profit a lot sooner than you will, you know?
Exactly. And the OTC is no different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, people generally that know how to trade OTC don't just start dumping.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it obviously it causes, I think, a lot of retail. Like now we have all these retail traders in the OTC and, you know, they really don't know how to sell. So like if they buy 20 million shares, like you were saying before, all of a sudden you'll see like ETRF come up with 20 million share bid. Like, that's fucking straight up retail.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why are you blocking the run, bro?
You just straight up block the run.
Just blocking the run, yeah. But what about shorting? You don't mess with shorting, or do you?
Oh yeah, well I don't know if you can. I think you could short a little on IB. I don't think you can short a lot of the shit that I trade. I know that like the market maker short. I mean, you can see the short volume. You know, you can look it up on OTC short report and stuff. And I mean, I have my own views about that. Like I say, I never worked on the institutional side, but do I think that 80% of the day's volume gets shorted on these things? No, you know, but is it probably being sold without like true ownership from the market maker for the purposes of maintaining liquidity? Hell yeah. You know, that's definitely what's happening. They don't have money to like make a market.
That's their job, right?
So like to me, I think they just borrow the shares and they sell them, but I really don't think they're like, they're out there like short, like, oh, we're going to short the entire day's volume to keep this thing down. But I don't know. You know, like I say, I'm talking about out of my ass again, you know, so that's all I'll say about that. But I don't know. Do you guys know any way to short OTCs? Have you done it before?
I
don't short. I don't short anything.
Yeah, I only short big boards through options, but I don't short OTC. I think Short Trader offers some shares too.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, and I know, like, you know, if you want to trade like one of these, like I don't want to say that ticker actually. Any ticker that's higher priced that has a lot of liquidity, I think you probably have more luck finding shares, you know. But I never really looked into it that much. I just sure bang out my niche, you know. That's how I've always done it. And like, you know, it's crazy to think like what that can get you in life, you know, just like funny little stocks like ELCR, you know.
Yeah. So Baller, like I seen a couple of weeks ago, your setup that you tweeted out, your desktop setup. I mean, yeah. You got like six big old screens, man. What are you looking at on that setup every day?
All right, I'm gonna take you guys through it right now.
That setup is sick, dude.
Thanks, brother. Thank you. Yeah, it's some people like. Some people need the screens. I do. Some guys don't. I know dudes who make almost as much money as, or probably more money than me trading off their phone, but like they just have a different way of doing it, you know? So for me, I'm a grinder. I got to be here and I got to have the screens up. But so anyway, what I have on, so I have one screen for like Catalyst. So I have about to give both of these guys a free plug right now, but I have Filing RE, which is like, that's how you get the SOS shit. And the like court shit. So you can get like the custodianships and, you know, the Secretary of State stuff, all the stuff you're not going to really get on scans or equity feed. I think it's called scans now. It used to be called equity feed. And so that's the other program that I have. And I just have that for like, I have it for news. And to be honest, Filing RE probably gets all the same news, but I just like having like a backup because of how much, you know, I trade. And it's pretty small cost for me, but I know it's, you know, it's bigger for certain other people. When I used to trade, by the way, when I had a small account, that's why everybody, you know, it's just people don't never really get my sympathy with the whole, oh dude, well you have all this and that. And, you know, well, yeah. But when I used to trade for on news, I used to literally just, I'd see volume come in. I'd look it up on OTC markets. I'd be like, oh, there's news. I could tell there was news from the level two, you know, but anyway, that's a combo for another time. But So anyway, one screen I have the Catalyst, basically. One screen I have charts. I'm not huge on charting. I only really need one screen for it. So I'll have like a daily chart on like a 14-day time frame, a daily chart on like a 100-day time frame, a daily on a year, and then I have an intraday chart. And I have them all linked up so they show the same ticker. So then I can sort of get a glance, you know, real quick.
Yeah, let me just interrupt you here real quick. So your most your lowest time frame is 14 day.
It'll be like I have it on 15 minute, but you know, and I'll set it on today. I'll set it on 14. It depends on what I'm trying to, you know, I'll move it around, but I like to be able to see like more than just the daily candles sometimes, you know.
Right.
So yeah, and then I have let me see what I have on the other. Oh yeah, so I got scanners on the other screen. So that's the third screen. So I have like the volume scanners, and then I have many screens for level twos. I have a lot of level twos running all the time. I just like to spread shit out. I could probably do it on like four screens, but it's nice. Like I have my positions on one screen, you know, and I can sort of scroll up and down. I have my orders on one screen. So you know it's I could probably get by with less. It's just nice to sort of be able to spread stuff out, but yeah, I definitely think it's helpful to have like one for Catalyst, you know, and just keep it up there, you know, and then you're never like clicking around trying to read stuff. Like that's how I read the news so fast, is it's sort of like already there, you know. And then on E-Trade, I mean, you can actually link at the top right hand of all the tools, there's a thing that says link, and you can link stuff together. So you can, like, if you press link one on your charts and then link one on your level two. And I know this info is going to be useless for some people and really useful for other people, so I just figured I'd mention it. But anyway, that links everything together. So you can like click the stock. I mean, on your scanner, you used to be able to, but I guess that's not a thing anymore. But you can click the stock and it'll pull it up on, like, you know, level two, the all the charts and everything at once, and it sort of saves you a lot of time. You know, you can put your order in that way. If you see some news or something like that, you know, so you can say, hey, well, here's where the front load was. Here's what the news is. Here's what my risk is. Here's my reward. And you get in 2 seconds, you know. And then you don't have to yell at Bala for front loading the news. You know, I really want people to learn, man, because when people like yell at me or they assume I'm playing some type of rigged game, when in reality, like I started in my freaking, you know, I started with nothing, knowing nobody, and you know, got where I am today. It makes me sad that people think that's how it works, you know. And I'm just like, damn, dude, like you're already like that belief just screwed you from the start. Like thinking that like, oh, well, you're just there because you have the money and because you have the following. And it's like, dude, at one point I had 500 followers, 10 grand. You know, and there's no excuses. Like you can do it yourself. And if you think that the following is so useful, fine, make some good calls and build your own following. You know, it doesn't, I really want people to see it that way. And like anything I can do, the more I can teach, like, dude, I teach shit that people should, like, I could charge $500,000 a year for, and I teach it for free. And you know why? It's just because like, I'm so tired of that mentality, you know? And like, the more people push me like that, the more I share on Twitter and just fuck with their heads. Like, yeah, you're right. I am a scammer. Now let me show you how to make $1 million a year. You know, but anyway, that's my spiel.
Show me how to make $1 million a year.
Hey, brother, anytime. You know, my DMs are always open for you.
No, but I agree with that. I totally agree with that. It's man versus machine, basically. I mean, we are up against market makers, algos. Like, I don't know why traders are like fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, half of them I kind of never really are, but you know, that's
I know, but you know what I mean? Like, I never really understood that, you know? It's like,
yeah, I agree, bro. I'm all about just positivity. I can tell from talking to you guys for even an hour here that, you know, you're on the same tip. And like, that to me tells me that, like, you know, you're making $1,000 a day now. I'm going to call you in a year because I think you're going to be making a lot more. You know, there's only right, there's two ways to view it, you know, and I think you guys are viewing it the right way. So.
Yeah, man, we just try to, you know, keep plugging away and stay humble and help new traders out. And, you know, I mean, I think over time, you know, we're going to be a master be reckoned with, you know, because I see these guys, you know, that are making these calls and charging people buku money to teach them how to trade and stuff. And it's like, man, everything is out there on the web. Like you don't need to go and pay all this big money to do this stuff, you know. I mean, you just gotta surround yourself with the right people, you know.
But that's hard. I mean, there's pumpers,
let me make something clear. I just wanted to say, like, those dudes that do that, like, that compared to college tuition, such a good deal, you know. Like, they're doing God's work, those guys. But I'm just saying, like, I don't need the money. I'm already making money in the market. You know, I'm not some guy that makes $100,000 on trading and, you know, $600 on subs. It's, you know, so like, but I, you know, so I just like to fuck with people's heads. That's my thing, you know, but anyway, I just want to make that clear. I'm not hating on any of the guys with subs. You know, I even know some guys with subs. They're good guys. You know, I just more meant like, you know, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I learned everything on Google, and you know, that's all you need. Google University, baby. Summa cum laude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've, for the last like 4 years, I've lived, breathed stocks, OTC 24/7. I'm just studying.
Yeah. Like we help each other out, you know?
Yeah. We help each other.
That's awesome.
Yep. We help each other out. So I'm not here to like play games. And,
yeah.
You know? And it is man versus machine.
Yep.
Essentially. So why wouldn't you collectively wouldn't want man to win?
Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of like beating the system in a way. Know what I mean?
Oh, the house. Absolutely. The house. They hate the fact that we're out here, by the way. They hate it.
Right. The house always wins.
So yeah. You guys want to open it up for a quick Q&A session with the live chat here?
Baller, yeah, by the way, man, I love you, dude.
These guys here, they just
I'm just going to say that, man. You're an awesome dude, man.
Appreciate
so it. So humble and so truthful.
Yeah, let's see if we anybody, you guys throw us some questions here.
How do I see the questions? I'm on the YouTube stream.
Oh yeah, I'm not even on YouTube. I'm just chilling here in my office looking at my charts, talking to you guys. Up,
of course you are.
Scroll up,
switch. So what'd you play today, Baller?
Oh shit, man. I'd have to look through let me look through my.
I know you hit. Anyway, I know you hit like six today, right? You said
the LCR was a big winner.
He says, "When did you all quit your day jobs?"
Only one quit our day job so far.
Bro, last job I had was I was a valet in Los Angeles, and after that, I was just sort of doing some of this and some of that, if you know what I mean. And yeah, sort of where a lot of my trouble started, and. Yeah, so when I decided I wanted to trade, I just said screw this, and I left LA and I flew back and I moved in with my dad, and I was just living with him, and thank God he didn't kick me out before I built my account. And yeah, so man, I've never really been like a job guy. I can't hold down a job. I always get fired. I'm just useless. Like I'm not an employable person.
I mean, you know, but, I'm going to have to say that you're not useless, because you've given out some solid information to all these people here tonight, you know, and you're doing it every day anyway. So it's like, yeah, you're definitely not useless, man.
I appreciate it, brother. I love to help people. And like when I'm on something that I'm interested in, I'm really about it. You know, I just like, I'm not good at like, doing what I'm supposed to do, you know, like I'm terrible at that shit.
So Trey Montroy says, discuss taxes in Puerto Rico versus mainland US.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So first off, here's my disclaimer. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a tax professional, you know, consult your own people. Don't come and sue me, when this shit doesn't work or something. But anyway, right now in PR, so what I the situation I came into is I came down here, and it was at the time it was basically you're tax free on capital gains if you were a non bona fide resident of Puerto Rico and then you move here. So like basically anybody who comes in now is tax free on cap gains, and it was like a 5K initiation fee and a 5K donation to a charity of your choice. And all that gets you no taxes, believe it or not. Yeah. So last year that was a huge W for me. And then this year they changed the rule, unfortunately. So now there's an additional stipulation. I'm still grandfathered into the old rule.
Do you have to do that every year?
New guys. Yeah. Well, I have to give the donation every year, and then my accountant does like an annual report or something like that. So it's sort of like, 1099 or whatever, but it's just a little less complex, and I don't even know why they want it, but I assume it's just for like statistical stuff. But anyway, I got to do that, and then I got to give $5,000 every year, which is, you know, I'm not crying about that, but and it's nice, you know. I mean, it shit. If they made me give my taxes to charity, I maybe never would have left the States, to be honest. I just am not like, I know a lot of people out there are probably like, oh, this guy. You know, but I don't really feel like taxes go where they're supposed to most of the time. So, but anyway, that's a discussion for another day. Anyway, so now the rule is you got to buy a residence, and I think it's still like 5K or something similar. So like, if you can deal with the residence part, you can probably swing it, but it's just, that's like the added stipulation. And I know it would have made it a little more complicated for me in the financial situation I was in when I decided to make the leap. But, dude, if you can pull it off, it's huge, you know? But yeah, you just want to make sure you can deal with the residents. And then the only other thing is PR. There's some stuff like, you just expect some expenses, you know, like if you're not making like a lot of money, it might not be worth it yet. You know, just move to like a state like New Hampshire or Texas or Nevada or something like that, and make sure you don't pay state income tax, and then maybe make the leap, you know, the year after. But, and that's assuming they don't make it worse, you know, cause they're already making it harder. So I don't know. It's a tough call, but yeah, you know, so yeah, if you do that, then you're tax-free on cap gains. And, you know, there's professionals that can help you set the stuff up. And it's pretty much, I don't want to say that simple, but, you know, you got to register on an online portal. And it wasn't like impossible. And it wasn't expensive for me. To say the whole thing last year cost me like $12,000, and I saved like $250,000 taxes, you know. So, So yeah, it's a pretty crazy situation.
Cool, man. So Raging Bacon asked, what about OTC runners? How can you tell which ones are going to run before they run?
I'd say you want to look at the, maybe the story, you know? So if it's running on nothing, I mean, some things are sort of like inside info pumps. So they have big news come out later. And those are usually the ones that I sell early. And I say, yeah, whatever, you know, but, you know, if the story's huge, you can trust it. You could look at other models like, all right, well, this stock, sort of like what we were talking about earlier, this stock ran here with this share structure on this catalyst, you know? And then another thing is you just watch the level two, like how much are they smoking each level? You know, or it, does it look like they're sort of trying to hit some and then get you to hit some, or does it look like they're just taking it because they want it, you know, and there's a big difference. And, you know, that's kind of,
I love what you just said.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, bro, but
yeah. Do they want it or do they want you to want it? Right.
Exactly.
That's always the question.
Yeah, that's always the question.
A lot of times. That's another thing. It's just remember, like, I am not sitting here like I know everything. Like there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh bro, they want it. And then like they bag me and I lose freaking $5,000 on it, you know? So
right.
Never picture like the guy out there making a bunch of money. And it's like, oh dude, how did he know? And I'm such an idiot. And he knew again, and it's not how it's working. You know, I mean, like I screw up all the time. You know, I have no clue where these things are going to go or what they're going to do. You know, that's why I scale my exits. If I was a better trader and I really had that like sick intuition like that, I wouldn't have to do that. I just sell the top, you know, sell the top. You know, so but yeah, that's what I would look at for that, you know. And
so Corey Alexander asks, how do you chart the trips?
Okay, trips, huge, huge thing. And I know this is going to be different than how most people use it, but use VWAP. Okay. So that way you can look at, because you're going to see trips. What makes the charts hard is you're going to see a channel like trip one, trip two channel. Great. You see all this volume. You have no clue whether it happened at one or two. And you're wondering, all right, am I supposed to pay $2 for this? You know, it's basically like you're paying $2 for a stock or $1, you know, and it makes it very difficult. So like for charting for me, a VWAP is key, because then I can look at like a big candle and I can see, all right, where did they load this candle? You know, and that'll give you an idea of like where basically what you're paying compared to what the market paid in general, you know? You see what else with charting. Oh, and you know, breakouts still apply. So if you see something sort of like press up against the resistance, then maybe dip back down 2 ticks or something like that, 3 ticks, and then press the resistance again, and they'll hit it real hard on the level two. That shit's going to break out, especially in a market like this. So that's sort of the same story as higher prices. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's pretty much it. But VWAP is real key, and I don't use it like most people. I use it as a way to sort of count transactions without having to count the transactions, you know, so you can do it at a glance real quick.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
That is smart. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how
I've actually learned a lot from you tonight, man.
Nice. That's what I want to hear, man. I mean, I really want people to learn, and I don't really care if everybody learns how I trade. If they want to change it, I never stop learning. I'll just learn again. But like the last thing I'm going to have is people think like I'm not trying to hook it up, because that's what I live for, you know?
No. Like my dick is nowhere near as big as yours, but like I'm pretty versed on the fucking OTC. Oh, kid show. Eric's getting pissed off. I know he's getting pissed off.
I started that. It's my fault.
I've definitely learned a lot. I've definitely learned a lot from you tonight.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, I'm an open book, man.
I've learned a lot.
Come on, because like, and that's the thing is, I want to say to anybody out there, like, yo, if you DM me something and I don't get back to you, like, just understand, I get like 1,000 of those a day, you know, and I got to work, you know, so, you know, after all, yeah, like I do trade for a living. I don't teach people, you know? So,
right.
But I mean, that's why this is such a cool opportunity. I'd love to come back on again, because like the amount of people we were able to reach, and you know how many people probably had the same questions that these people had, like that fires me up, man. Like that makes me, I feel
man.
More pumped now.
This is fun.
I did make 170 grand today. Like this pumps me up way more than the money I made today is doing shit.
Dude,
like, this. Like I feel the best
absolutely.
I felt all day right now.
That's awesome, man. Glad to hear
that's
that.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
I appreciate you guys. Much love.
Yeah, yeah, appreciate it. So we're going to take this last question from, I hope I don't botch your name here, just Saudi One. Any tips on balancing life and the time it takes to do the DD and trade?
Oh, man, I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. I got no balance. Ask my girlfriend. Jeez. But yeah,
get her on the phone. Let's ask her.
I think, for me, one thing that helps is, like, I have hours that I just don't look at social media, and I don't, I don't really, like, I don't need to look at everything. I wake up real early in the morning, so I do a lot of DD at, like, 5 a.m., and I don't really trade NASDAQ, so I have, like, plenty of time to get ready for the market and everything, you know, but I think turning your brain off is, like, real helpful, because, you know, otherwise you just end up sort of on autopilot, and then, like, you know, you can spend all this time and it's really not worth it, you know, unless you're, like, in the right, because you got to sort of have, it's an art, not a science out here, you know, so
you got to
be tuned into your best self. Yeah, you got to refresh, and, like, that'll help you a lot more than, like, trying to, you know, but I mean, I know there's guys who work harder than me too, you know, so, and I, like I say, I don't have great balance anyway, so I might be the wrong guy to ask. I mean, I definitely am not Mr. like, Zen master, like, oh, I got my life together, like, I make a lot of money, but I'm still figuring out a lot of other stuff, you know, so but yeah, I think that's one of the best things I do, is just, like, I check off, you know, and I turn everything off, turn my phone off, you know, and I think that helps a lot. That's been a lot for my sense of well-being, you know, when I started doing that. So
yeah, that makes sense, man.
Yeah, you gotta find balance and refresh, and you can't be thinking about this shit like 24/7. You need like at least 2 hours a week just for a little break.
Exactly. Yeah, I think definitely weekends too. Yeah, I love how I didn't even, like, that 2 hours didn't even strike me as funny. Like, oh yeah, 2 hours, that sounds about right.
I know, but that's real. Like, even on the weekends you find yourself like,
bro, the weekends I sit around just, like, sad. Like depressed, like, oh dude, I just made, like,
I know,
dude,
me too.
Friday, I made no joke. Friday, I made 70 grand or something like that. And I was just Saturday morning. I just woke up like Eeyore, like, oh, like, I was not psyched. I was not psyched. So just a degenerate, dude. I got to keep moving, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cool, man. Hey, baller. Really appreciate you coming on the show this evening. I had a blast with you. I know Ray had a blast with you. And for all you guys and gals that are in the live chat, and for all y'all that tuned in and that are, you know, just giving us the support by following us on Twitter and subscribing to us on our YouTube channel, very much appreciated. Very much appreciated. And I hope that all y'all had a good time tonight on listening in, and that you guys learned something. And this is P1 Talks. I am the host, Swiss Trades. We had Ray Prinsada on tonight, and OTC Stock Baller. So we're signing out. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
You're doing God's work. Keep it up, boys. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Let's get that fucking money.
All right. Sounds good. Let's
rise and grind tomorrow.
Let's go. Rise and grind. Bye.